my most admired colleagues and a leader in the field of climate change and climate change impacts, Dr. Ratan Lal. Come forth, please.
Dan, I want to thank you and Cynthia for inviting me. Greatly appreciate the opportunity to be here. I deliberately chose this topic because sometimes we worry concerning a practice, whether it's a no-till or agroforestry or biochar or whatever other system might be. I think the goal is to create a positive soil ecosystem carbon budget, whatever it takes to do it. That's the goal. The goal is not a practice or a technique. From that point of view, let's look at the short-term global carbon cycle. And by short-term, I mean the current. Sometime we also think about the long-term global carbon cycle, which is very important to certain issue. Over short-term, we got atmosphere with 780 gigaton of carbon increasing because of fossil fuel combustion of currently about 8 gigaton. And at the same time, we are getting about 1.6 gigaton from deforestation and land use change. And of course, between the atmosphere and biota, there's a photosynthesis of 120 gigaton, which goes back into the atmosphere through plant respiration or through soil respiration. Soil also have erosion problem, which in some respect, if it's taken to the ocean, it's of course sequestration, and if the carbon being on a root of the landscape being mineralized, it gets into the atmosphere. And of course, then we got ocean, that is a very large reservoir, which plays a major role on the long-term carbon cycle, which is at multi-million time scale. Over short-term, it's still a sink, about 2.3 gigaton, and perhaps some oceanographers think that sink capacity may decrease with time as the temperature of the ocean might change. But at the moment, it's certainly a sink. There have been several debate about the carbon sequestration technology, whether it is a geologic sequestration versus the terrestrial sequestration. This is one of the scenarios which I have seen in the literature. Business as usual, the carbon dioxide concentration will keep going up. If we are able to sequester geologically all the carbon emitted through anthropogenic emission, the best we can have is a flat curve. If there is any possibility of decreasing the carbon dioxide concentration in the atmosphere, the terrestrial ecosystem, soil, trees have to play a major role. I personally was very disappointed. The Science magazine 4 or 5 weeks ago, Secretary Chu did not mention about the possibility of the terrestrial. He only focused on geologic. I think geologic is important, can be important, but ignoring terrestrial could be a serious mistake. How does terrestrial work? We have a 100% carbon pool in a given natural ecosystem. As we begin to cultivate the land by deforestation, by plowing, by whatever activity, especially in the beginning when the fertilizer input was less, the carbon concentration decreases. Decreases by oxidation, by mineralization, by harvesting. In temperate climate, over 50 to 60 year period, it may decrease by 30 to 50%. It may stabilize if there is no erosion. It may not stabilize if soil erosion continues. Erosion will deplete the carbon concentration further. If at that point in time we begin to adopt recommended management practices, those practices which will kind of counter the mineralization impact, counter the erosion, the carbon concentration will go up. It will go up to a certain level, which might reach another equilibrium under that given set of conditions. And perhaps if we are doing even better agricultural practices, maybe we come up with varieties which have a more recalcitrant material, perhaps we might reach to the same level as we were as when we clear the natural ecosystem. That will be a technical potential, a maximum potential. For us to reach the maximum potential will be really very difficult. Under some very rare circumstances, perhaps we might have technological innovation which might take us beyond the original level. And there might be some options. But the idea is that we are looking for those technology which would create delta Y or delta X, the slope of that line, more positive. And what are those? That's what we are looking at. the maximum potential of course is what we lost, how much we have depleted by previous management. And that's what we're trying to replace. The technology range of them might be no-till, might be integrated nutrient management, especially manuring, compost, cover crops. Biochar is one option, agroforestry. Restoration of degraded land, desertification control is certainly one option. On a long-term cycle, and I'll talk about that perhaps in another session tomorrow, the erosion taking carbon into the ocean is definitely on a long term, over a multi-million time year scale, as certainly a part. That's where ocean is a major sink. Over a short term period of decadal scale, maybe even a century scale, erosion is a source. I think we need to discuss that. We need to think about that. Some of the estimates indicate that on a global scale every year, we might be losing as much as 1 petagram. In the US, perhaps about 15 teragram. Brazil, India, Iceland, many countries, we have estimated that over a short period, the possibility of replacing over a very immediate period by erosion is much less. Therefore, it is a source. The only way it can be a sink is three possibilities: dynamic replacement of soil organic carbon at eroding sites, and a decrease in decomposition at the depositional site. Then it could be a sink. Deep burial of carbon definitely would leak a sink, and otherwise the estimate of that sink have been decreasing tremendously, and the recent estimate by a colleague was it's about 0.1 or so petagram per year. The goal of carbon sequestration, of course, is to increase the input over output. And if the input over output is more, it's sequestration. If input is less than output, it's depletion. Output mostly is erosion, decomposition, leaching, harvest. Whatever you take away. Input, of course, residue, mulch, compost, amendment, deposition, whatever else you have. The goal here is not to focus on a technology. The goal is how do you create the gains more than the losses. In any system where the gains can be more than the losses, you are going to have a sequestration by whatever technology that is. And a system in which the gains are going to be less than the losses, of course, is a depletion. Unfortunately, most agroecosystems, especially the extractive agroecosystem, which lead to depletion of the fertility, which lead to depletion of the organic matter, you remove the biomass, the gains are always less than the losses. Therefore, we keep on losing the carbon. Now, there are questions concerning increasing net primary productivity system. There are some options like integrated nutrient management. I want to focus that in terms of compost, any material that you can recycle in terms of the organic matter, conserving and recycling water, controlling stocking rate in grazing land, converting no-till with mulching and cover crops. Certainly without mulching and cover crops, no-till will not be any good. And using soil amendments, there are a range of amendments, including zeolites, and of course establishing perennial vegetation wherever there was annual before. Once again, the nutrients harvested, whether it's nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, sulfur, harvested in crops must be replaced one way or the other. If you don't replace it, carbon will pay the price. Organic matter content decomposition will be what will be harvested, and therefore you create a negative budget. What are therefore strategies of carbonization of the terrestrial biosphere? Four or five options. Restore forests and savannas wherever that's possible. Control soil erosion over a small period of decadal, and maybe even a century scale. Controlling soil erosion is a very important strategy. Reclaim degraded lands. Inundate, restore peat soils. Peat soils have been a major, major source, are even now a source, agriculturally managed peat soil. We must restore them if we can, and of course adopt recommended management practices in agricultural soils which create a positive balance. I want to take a minute about no-till controversy, which I do not see it in any way. In many cases, if you plot SOC concentration with depth, no-till profile might look like this. Higher concentration on the surface, perhaps a stable in the subsoil. In some situation, the plowing where the crop residue is turned under, the no-till, the plow-till subsoil below where the residue may have higher than the no-till. It's possible. If you do the measurement only to shallow depth, like 15, 20 centimeters depth, you may have a very different opinion than if you did the entire depth. The question really is whether the gain in this upper part are more than the gain for the plow system in the lower part. And that balance will tell you whether one system is better than the other system.
And the investment of energy.
Exactly. The ecosystem carbon budget. It's the ecosystem. You're not simply looking at the soil, the entire part, the fertilizer of the other part. The other question of sometimes debatable part which creates anomaly and contradiction is the baseline. The baseline measurements must also be made in a traditional system that you're comparing with right from the point zero. And if you have one technology versus another technology at that time period, then try to compare the difference between the two, which is then exactly the sequestration. So all the ecosystem carbon input that has gone into the traditional versus all the input that has gone in the conventional, try to find the difference between the two, and that will tell you whether it was sequestration or not. There are differences between the moisture and temperature regime. Obviously, the rate is much higher for wetter and cooler conditions than for drier and hotter conditions. In fact, for the redder area, which is dry and hot, the carbon sequestration rate might be even negative. This is where I think we need to focus. We need to find out for the temperate tropic highlands, for humid, subhumid, arid climate, what are the possibilities of different technology, whether it's a no-till, whether it's a cover crop, whether it's integrated nutrient management, whether it's biochar, what kind of rate potential exists, what can we do to create the positive budget. The similar kind of scenario we can create for different types of soils. You have a clay soil, which is poorly drained or well-drained. We got a silt soil, which might be erodible or not erodible. We have a sandy soil. What kind of rates exist? This is the kind of matrix information that we need to provide, especially to policymakers, so they can fill in the coordinates and find out if you adopt this practice, this is what's going to happen. And that, again, the rate depends on many other factors. It depends on baseline, of course, which I mentioned, reference point. It depends on clay content, clay type. It depends on the initial carbon content. Of course, residue management, how do you do it? Internal drainage condition, soil wetness. There's a range of factors. To give the information without that, it's very difficult to assess what the rate might be. Many times the question is asked, and that is between geologic and the terrestrial. The reason is when you give the rate of terrestrial, half a ton per hectare per year, quarter of a ton per hectare per year, maybe 1 ton per hectare per year, that does not sound as promising to policymaker as you say, in one borehole in geologic sequestration, I can put in 250,000 tons of CO2 in 1 year. So immediately the policymaker said, gee, I know, but it's 250,000 in one hole versus half a ton per hectare, maybe half a ton. I think if we were to convince the policymaker, look, we got 2,400 petagram of carbon in top 1 meter in the soil in the world as a whole. And if it is possible, I do not know whether it's possible or not, but if it is possible, assume it's possible that over next one century, we can add into that profile that I was showing 10% additional. It's not easy. It's not easy because you really have to create a positive carbon budget. But if you can do it, you got 240 petagram, which roughly translates to 112 parts per million of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. That drawdown at no cost or very little cost is the low-hanging fruit that the policymakers do not know. They have to know. Whether we can achieve it, even if you can achieve half of that, 50 parts per million, that Jim Hansen other things is certainly a possibility, why not? That is a very important option that we keep on ignoring. And when policymakers hear 50 kilogram per hectare per year, 100 kilogram, they're not so excited about it. This is the bigger picture that we got to give them, plus, of course, the extra benefits that we have. The other part of the clean coal, so-called, if there is such thing called clean coal, I do not know, clean coal is like healthy cigarettes in a way. Is there a healthy cigarette? Maybe it is. It's really in the lungs of the beholders. So zero emission and the negative, the idea is to create a negative emission. The only way to create negative emission is through taking carbon dioxide through photosynthesis, converting biomass through humification into humus. It's very cost effective. There are no concerns with dangerous leakage and other thing. The many other ecosystem services, the carbon put into the hole in the ground 1 mile below is not going to create ecosystem services. This does. And our policymakers have to know that it does. Here is the cost. McKinsey and Company just last few months ago came up with a report. I would recommend anybody to read it. The cost of carbon sequestration per ton of CO2 in terms of euro, -50 for tillage and residue management. Waste recycling, -15. Dollar per ton of euro per ton degrading. Look at the last one, carbon capture 50, 60, 70 euro per ton. Now here is a question, 70 euro a ton of CO2 translates into $380 per ton of C. If it costs $380 per ton of CO2 injected into the ground, even if a farmer sequestered 250 kilogram, that's worth $90. Why shouldn't then farmer get $90 rather than $2 per ton of CO2 that Chicago Climate Exchange gives? So the actual price should be this. I don't think there are many farmers who will refuse doing agricultural technology, whatever we suggest, if you promise to pay them $90 per ton for 250 kilogram or $300 that carbon capture and sequestration technology gives you. I think the other part is the ecosystem services. If you can improve the soil quality through soil carbon, there are at least four other parts which are driven by that power, the engine. Climate change, mitigation, adaptation, food security, you cannot achieve without improving quality of the soil. Energy demand, use efficiency, we'll link on that. Water resources, going to be a major, major problem for the next century. They are all related to carbon in the soil as a surface membrane. So soil management in terms of carbon, creating a positive carbon budget, whatever it takes to do it. Let's not argue about how, find out how. Carbon sequestration in soils in terms of microaggregates. I think we want to talk about water in terms of water harvesting, water recycling, water quality, drip irrigation that Dan and his colleague pioneered, developing drought-tolerant crops, maybe crops that create emission signals, nutrients, very important component. All of these three, water, nutrient, carbon, are interlinked. Doesn't matter what way you look at it. And that is where the carbon sequestration cycle really brings them together through improving soil quality. At the same time, enhancing soil resilience that we heard Dr. Easterling talking about. This is the way to enhance soil and ecosystem resilience by minimizing. So my suggestion to policymakers would be increase the efficiency of fossil fuel use as much as you can. Conserve the existing forests and savannas. Restore natural forests and grasslands or croplands that's not needed. Restore soil carbon pool and, of course, trade carbon credits. Rather than putting money into the hole, give it to the farmers who will then do whatever need to be done. And over a long term, try to find known carbon fuel technology. In the meantime, we do as much in saving as we possibly can. As far as the degraded soils are concerned, which we got many of them, we got almost 2 billion hectares degraded. If these soils are not restored, and restoration requires putting carbon content in soils above the threshold level for most soil is 1.1% in the root zone. If these soils are not restored, crops will fail even if rains do not. Hunger will perpetuate even with emphasis on biotechnology and genetically modified crops. Civil strife and political instability will plague the developing world, even with the sermons on human rights and democratic ideals. And humanity will suffer, even with great scientific strides. Political stability and global peace are threatened because of soil degradation, food insecurity, and desperateness. And the time to act is now. Thanks so much.
Thank you so very, very much, Professor Ratan Lal, for that concise, definitive, inspiring call to action. And when you walk out of here, the spades and the shovels and the plows, the plowshares will be ready